We tend to remember big news, don't we? And it doesn't really even matter if it's good or bad. We just remember big news. It's like it sticks with us. Big news gets indelibly etched into our minds. For example, I was only 6 years old at the time, but I remember when John Hinckley Jr. attempted to assassinate President Ronald Reagan. It was a scary thing for me as a six-year-old to think that that was even possible, that somebody would want to do that. And I also remember the confusion and the disbelief, and then how that faded into horror in 1986 when it finally dawned on me that what I was actually seeing as we watched the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster. Because at first it was exciting, and then all of a sudden this explosion, and then it dawned on us what really happened, and that was scary. Yeah, both of those instances are bad news, but I remember good news too. I remember the excitement and also the chaos and the celebration at my 16th birthday party when all my friends gathered around the TV and we watched Duke upset UNLV to win the national championship in basketball. I remember that. It was exciting. It was awesome. I also remember the very next year when Christian Laettner hit the shot against Kentucky and advanced on to the next round of the tournament. That was fun. But even bigger than those bits of good news, I will never, ever forget when and how I received the news that I was going to be a dad. It was March 2004. Heather and I had been married for a little over 6 years at that point, and we decided that we were probably about as prepared as we were going to be to take the plunge into parenthood. And I was 29 at the time. We were living in Florence, but Heather was teaching school in Camden, so she would get up crazy early and leave for her hour and 10-minute commute from Florence to Camden. And I remember one chilly March morning, I woke up after she had already left. I stumbled into the bathroom, all bleary-eyed from sleep, and I looked down on the counter and noticed this note. It was right next to one of those first response tests. And the note said, "Call me when you see this. Daddy. Call me when you see this. Daddy." And there was so much emotion inside of me in that moment. I didn't know what to do. I think I just stood there forever, just looking in the mirror, just not knowing what else to do. I had all this adrenaline. I walked around the house for no telling how long, just unable to focus, unable to concentrate on anything else than the news that I had just received by way of this note. And it was like pure joy and pure fear all rolled into one. Because I was elated for sure, but I'll admit I was also scared. It was exciting, but I also knew that this was going to change my life forever. It was big news. But it wasn't nearly as big as the news we're going to read about in our gospel lesson from Luke this morning. This news is huge. And I actually wonder if it was hard to decide at first whether it was good news or bad news. Because I bet it seemed like a little bit of both when it was first delivered. Because I remember all the emotions I had at age 29 when I learned the news that I was going to be a parent. And all of that had to be magnified exponentially for an unwed teenager in the podunk village of Nazareth. Which brings us to our lesson from Luke chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, never say there's no way. Can you do that for me? Never say there's no way. You want to talk about big news? This is it. Mary receives some really big news. Whenever the angel Gabriel shows up in the Gospels, it's always big news. And actually, this is the biggest news. It's the biggest news for the entire world. Now, it'll be decades before the rest of the world, and be more than decades before the rest of the world will really understand just how big this news is. But it is huge news. But Mary understands, even though it'll take the world a good while to understand it, Mary understands it immediately. She knows this is big news, and she knows this is going to change her life forever. And just think about Mary's experience. Think about this whole story from her perspective. Most scholars say that Mary was probably around 14 years old. So she's just a baby herself. And she's minding her own business. She's got her whole life ahead of her, and she's engaged. She's engaged to be married to this man named Joseph, and he's a good guy. He's a nice guy. And they're working on all the wedding plans. They're getting ready for the invitations to go out, and they're booking a caterer and photographer, all that stuff. That's not in the Gospel of Luke, but I'm quite sure it happened. They're working on all this stuff. When all of a sudden this angel shows up and says, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Now, Luke tells us that Mary is sort of taken aback when Gabriel shows up. I mean, the New Living Translation says Mary was confused and disturbed. Confused and disturbed. This angel just barges into her life and Mary is confused and disturbed. The Greek word that's translated there means greatly troubled. So Mary is greatly troubled. She's unnerved. She doesn't know what this means, and she doesn't know how to respond. And so the angel jumps in and says, no, no, no. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and because you have found favor with God, here's your prize. 9 months from now, you are going to have a son, and he is going to be the Savior of the world. Now, all this had to be overwhelming for Mary. And her response is like, 9 months from now, I think you have the wrong Mary. I don't know who you're supposed to deliver this message to, but it's not me. That can't possibly be right. It's not just unlikely. It's impossible. I'm not even married yet. It can't be me. There's no way. And I'm sure that Mary doesn't know whether to interpret this news as good news or bad news. Because, I mean, she's probably dreamed of this day. She's probably dreamed that one day she would have this news that she was going to have a baby. And I'm sure that the way she conceived of it in her mind was, you know, the way it was supposed to go. I'm sure she thought that she and Joseph would be married for a couple of years and get used to this whole marriage thing. And then she and Joseph would have the joy of posting the ultrasound pictures on Instagram and, you know, put some stuff on Facebook. Y'all weren't paying attention, were you? Slipped that in on you. You know, then, you know, later on they could have a gender reveal party and they could cut the cake and they could see the blue was inside and Jesus was going to be a boy. And, all, you know, that's the way it's supposed to happen. Not like this. It's not supposed to happen like this. It's not supposed to happen with some angel barging into her life and kind of commandeering, just blowing her out of the water with this news. And if it happens the way Gabriel says, who's going to believe it? Who's going to believe Mary? I mean, she could be stoned to death in those days for having a baby in this kind of situation. And even if she wasn't, Nazareth is a tiny little village where everybody knows everybody else's business, and she knows people are going to talk. Did you hear about Mary? Yes, I was shocked. I thought her parents raised her better than that. I mean, she knows how people are. And Gabriel said that she'd found favor with God, but I wonder if that's what it felt like when she got this news. Because she knows the truth. She knows the truth, and she says to Gabriel, "Sorry, Gabriel, I mean, you've got the wrong person. It's impossible. There's no way." Now, we're only a few verses into the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and already, this isn't the first time the angel Gabriel has delivered some news that is hard to believe. I mean, if you just read five verses in, we meet this elderly couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they've never been able to have children. And they're way past their childbearing years. And then all of a sudden, Gabriel appears to Zechariah and tells him, "Hey, you and Elizabeth are going to have a son. And you're going to name him John. And he is going to prepare the way for the Lord." And Zechariah's a normal person. He hears this news and he responds by saying, "How can this be? It's impossible. I'm an old man. My wife is, well, she's up in years too, and there's no way." And with that, Gabriel gets mad and he says, "Never say there's no way. In fact, I'm going to help you with that because I am going to make sure you don't say anything." And he strikes Zechariah dumb. He's not able to speak another word until John the Baptist is born. Never say there's no way. Because it might look like there's no way in a barren old woman's womb, but never say there's no way. It might look like there's no way in a virgin's womb, but never say there's no way. It might look like there's no way that God would save the entire world with all of our brokenness and all of our sinfulness. It may look like there's no way that God would do that through a baby born to a poor unwed virgin in a backwood corner of the pagan Roman Empire, but never say there's no way. And it doesn't stop there. I mean, it might look like in your marriage that there's no way because there's so much pain and there's so much hurt and there's so many lies and there's so much water under the bridge, but never say there's no way. It might look like there's no way to defeat that addiction that has made you a slave and caused you to fall off the wagon over and over and over again, but never say there's no way. It might look like there's no way because the doctors have exhausted all their treatment options and they've said, "We've done all we can do," but never say there's no way because our God just loves to make a way where there was formerly no way before. And just as sure as John the Baptist was born to the elderly Zechariah and Elizabeth, just as sure as John the Baptist was born to prepare the way, Jesus was born to be the way because in the words of the angel Gabriel, nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. That means a barren old woman can bear a child. A virgin can conceive. The Lord can enter into human history as a child. From the tomb can come a resurrection, and the Holy Spirit can empower the church to be unstoppable in its worldwide mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ. For nothing will be impossible with God. Amen? Well, when Mary responds to the angel, when she says, "Look, I'm a virgin, there's no way I can have a baby," did you notice the angel's response? He says, "Don't worry. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Mary, it is going to be amazing. And in that moment, Mary has a choice to make. She can say, no thanks, I'm good. Nobody will ever believe my story. My family might disown me. Joseph might break off the engagement and leave me. I'm sorry, Gabriel. It's a great story you have there, but honestly, it sounds like it would be bad news for me, so I'm just going to pass. Mary could say that. Or she could say, wow, that sounds like good news of great joy. It sounds like the best news in the history of the world. A Savior is to be born, the Son of God, our Messiah is coming, and God has chosen little old me to give birth to Him and raise Him. Absolutely, I'm all in. It might cost me my reputation. It might cost me my fiancé. It might cost me my family. It might even cost me my life, but I'm the Lord's servant. She says this in verse 38. I'm the Lord's servant, so may everything you have said about me come true. This is Mary's consent. God isn't going to force her to participate in the salvation of the world against her will. She's a willing partner, and I think this is why Mary is highly favored by God. I think God saw this little girl and He saw in her the purity of her heart. I think God could see the strength of her conviction. God could see the maturity and wisdom of her young soul and the strength of her faith. And God knew that she would have the fortitude necessary to carry salvation to full term. And she proves it with that statement. I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true. Now you may be thinking, hold on. You're telling me that a 14-year-old girl would have enough maturity and strength and selflessness and faith in God to consent to all of that? There's no way. And that might be true. But God's making a way. So never say, there's no way. Amen. Let's pray. God, You are the way maker. So many times throughout history, You have proven that You just love to make a way where there was no way. We're so grateful that You made a way for our broken world. We're so grateful that You made a way for us to be saved from sin and darkness and death. And so whenever we get discouraged, whenever we fall into despair, and whenever we are overwhelmed by our situations, we pray, oh God, that You might remind us that You have made a way, that You are the way in a manger. And help us never to forget it. And all God's people said, amen.